music of Easter is a thrilling music, isn't it? I don't know how you feel about that, but chills kind of running up and down my spine while she was singing that. And you know, there comes a time sometimes you feel like you ought to just have the benediction to go home. You don't need to do anything else. But I have a feeling that the elders will not be very happy if I did that, and they are all right here this morning. Let me remind you, the next Sunday is Easter Sunday. That is a very special Sunday for us as the people of God who normally come here to worship. It is also a special Sunday for the people of God who do not normally come here to worship. And they will be here next Sunday. And so we want to welcome them with open arms as a part of our family. But that does mean some special considerations need to be given as far as arriving on time and seating. And I noticed that they are continuing to tell you to please close in. They have not learned yet to say, suck it in. When the place is full, but they will do that, and you need to be aware of that. Also, I will remind you, if you attend the 8:10 service, it will be at 8 o'clock this next Sunday rather than 8:10. Also, we will have Good Friday services at 6 o'clock and at 8 o'clock this Friday, so we invite you to come and to participate with us. You know, the reality of the covenant permeates the whole of Scripture. The fact of the matter is that we are the people of God by covenant relationship. In fact, we call ourselves the covenant community or the covenant family of God. This is a covenant that was started when God called Abraham and made a covenant with him. And according to the terms of that covenant, God said to Abraham, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be blessed. I will bless all of the families of the earth through you. And those who bless you, I will bless. Those who curse you, I will curse. And I will be a God to you and to all of your people or your generations from now to eternity. Well, through the years, that covenant was expanded, and ultimately it found its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Well, right at the heart of the covenant is what is known as the blood covenant. A blood covenant is a covenant that two men enter into. We don't have anything like it in the United States. I understand that it is still practiced in some countries in the Middle East today. A blood covenant is where two men come into a covenant relationship. It's more than a pledge. It's more than a friendship. It is a total commitment to each other. And when they have come into a covenant relationship, everything they possess in common. If you're in a covenant relationship with this other man, it's no longer my checkbook, it's our checkbook. It's no longer my house, it's our house. It's no longer my debt, it is our debt. And if I have a need, all of the possessions of my covenant partner are at my disposal, and all of my possessions are at his disposal. But in this covenant relationship, not only do two men enter into that relationship, but they are representative heads. Because not only do these two men, but their children as well, participate in that covenant. And as long as one covenant partner is living, the children of the other covenant partner, even though he may be dead, still participate in the privileges and the benefits of that covenant that has been entered into. And in relationship with that, I want to have you to hear the Word of God, which is our scripture this morning. It's found in 2 Samuel, the 9th chapter, beginning with the first verse. It is a story of David, and we will talk about it in a moment. David asked, is there anyone still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Zebar. They called him to appear before David, and the king said to him, are you Zebar? Your servant, he replied. Then the king asked, is there no one still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? Zebar answered the king, there is still a son of Jonathan. He's crippled in both feet. Where is he? The king asked. Zebar answered, He is at the house of Micah, son of Amiel, in Lodibar. So King David had him brought from Lodibar, from the house of Micah, son of Amiel. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. And David said, Mephibosheth? Your servant, he replied. Don't be afraid, David said to him, for I will surely show you the kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all of the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table. Mephibosheth bowed and said, What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? And then the king summoned Zebar, Saul's servant, and said to him, I've given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops, so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table. Now Zebar had 15 sons and 20 servants. And then Zebar said to the king, Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do. And so Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Amen. Let's bow for a moment of silent prayer. We ask it in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On the page of Scripture that I read just a few moments ago, there is a half-forgotten story that has deep meaning for us as we come together at the Lord's table today. This is the story. Saul was the first king of Israel, but he's not a very good king. And now the long years of Saul's bitter reign and enmity have ended, and Saul and Jonathan have been killed in the battle on Mount Gilmore. David is now the king of Israel, and under David the kingdom has become secure, and David enjoys all of the honor and the respect of the people of Israel. But as David sits upon the throne, his mind wanders to the past, and he remembers the covenant that he entered into with Jonathan. Well, you see, David and Jonathan had established a covenant, a blood covenant relationship. And even though Saul and Jonathan was dead, for David, the solemn vow lived on. What if some member of Jonathan's family is still living so that I can show kindness to him for Jonathan's sake? And indeed, a son of Jonathan is found. When Saul and Jonathan had been killed in the battle on Mount Gilboa, and the news reached home, a terrified nurse dropped the child of Jonathan, and little Mephibosheth had grown up to be a helpless cripple. More than that, the family ruin had scarred his soul. And there were deep shadows on this lonely, desperate, helpless man. One day, Mephibosheth was brought into the presence of David, way from the desert, dirty and ugly and crippled. David was overwhelmed when he saw the sight of Mephibosheth before him. But rather than despising this pitiable man, he remembered Jonathan, and he said, As for Mephibosheth, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Let me tell you, that was not charity on David's part. That was real adoption. You see, in the day when David could have avenged with the blood of this young man, he remembered the covenant with Jonathan, and he adopted Mephibosheth as his son. And from that day on, Mephibosheth had restored to him all of the property of his father and of his grandfather. And he ate at the king's table. I want to tell you, that's a refreshing story. But it's not just a story from the past. It's a story that draws us to one greater than David and to a more blessed table. You see, we come this morning and we see the table of the King spread before us. And we know very well we have no claim to be here. The memory of our sins separate us. We can remember when our kingdom was against His kingdom. We can remember the times that our will was against His will. We look into our lives and we see the sin of our lives, and we see the scars that the sins have left upon us. The burdens of anxieties we carry. The regrets of memories that are gone. The scars of sins in our lives. And we hear the Word of God speak. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. And we tremble in the presence of God because of our sins. We find ourselves responding with Isaiah, "Woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips." Or we cry out with Peter, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." And yet here we are at the King's table. And we know this morning that we can come not because we have found Him. We can come because He's found us. You see, because Jesus came, because He died on the cross and rose again and lives forever, we can come. His love embraces us, and we are redeemed in the face of all that we have been, and we hear Him speak. "You shall eat at my table as one of the King's sons and daughters." Can you think of any more glorious expression of thanksgiving than that? To know that you and I, by covenant, have been adopted into the very family of God. And because we have been adopted into His family, everything that belongs to God is ours. And we come here this morning with whatever need has been pressed upon us. And all the resources of God are available to be applied to our needs and to meet the needs that we have. And that simply takes place because we have been brought into a covenant relationship with the Holy God. And in the midst of that covenant, we can live a full, bountiful, meaningful life. But it all finds its reality in the covenant that was established with this table. And as we come this morning with our sins, with our failures, with our aggravations, with our rebellions and rejections, we hear Him speaking to us. "I adopt you as my child. I bring you into my family. Your sins are forgiven. And today, you are invited to eat at the King's table as one of the King's sons and daughters." That's who we are this morning. New creations in Jesus Christ. And we have come the sons and the daughters of a King. Regardless of who we have been, regardless of who we are, the transformation has now taken place. Are you interested? All you need do this morning is to acknowledge that you belong to God in Jesus Christ. You are His son and daughter. And you can eat at the King's table from now through eternity. We invite you to come. It's for you. You can eat at the King's table as one of the King's sons or daughters.